Would you please turn to John chapter 14? John chapter 14. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture here this morning. And I encourage you, whether you have, you know, your electronic Bible or, you know, a real Bible. Just encourage you, you know, to follow along. In John chapter 14, look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now my Bible, this is in red ink, which means, you know, that's the words of Jesus. So now look over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's take a look at... let's see here. How about verse 11? Romans chapter 6, verse 11. I'll take a look at this. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look over in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And just jump down here to verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Because he was talking about, you know, people that were involved in sin, living a sinful life, being lost and all this. And he says, you know, that verse 11, that used to be you, but not anymore. You're washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Well, actually, you can back up to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now in Ephesians, look over in chapter 4. Verse 4, and that you put on, or live according to the new man, which, after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now look over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now look over in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And one more place for the moment. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Do you realize we've just read more scripture than some churches have heard in weeks or months, or maybe years? Seriously. How many of you remember when Jesus was arrested? Remember that? It's recorded over in John chapter 18. How that those arrested, in fact, look at it. I want you to see it. John chapter 18. It says that, verse 3, John 18, verse 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Okay, now, if you'll notice in verse 5 and verse 6, where it says, I am he, and the word he is in italics, okay, that word he is not supposed to be there. If you have a Bible where that word he is not in italics, you need to get a new Bible. I'm serious. Jesus didn't say, I am he. What he said was, I am. Remember when Moses was talking to God and God said, I want you to go and tell Israel this and tell Pharaoh that. And Moses said, all right, well, who am I going to tell him sent me? And God said, you tell them I am that I am has sent you. When Jesus was there being arrested, he had just spent all this time in prayer, John chapter 17. And these guys show up to arrest him. And he says, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am. And at that moment, the life of God in him, coupled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it just, when he spoke that, I am. Boom, the power of that knocked those guys to the ground. And when you put I am he, and you don't have the he in italics, you are absolutely perverting the Word of God and making it something it shouldn't be. He was declaring his unity with Almighty God. I am. So if you have a Bible where the word he is not in italics, I'm serious. Get rid of that Bible and get one that at least has it in italics. And anyway, so Jesus made that statement. He said, I am. And boom, down they go. Okay, now let's think for a moment. What if we were to approach Jesus today and ask him, Jesus, who are you? Not smart aleck, just ask him, you know. Jesus, who are you? What would you say about yourself? Well, what are some things do you think he would say? How do you think he would reply? Well, he could say, I am the risen Lamb of God. I am the sacrifice for your sins. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the Sanctifier. I am the Justifier. I am the Son of God. I am the Lamb that was slain. I am your healer. Are you understanding this? He could go on and on with all of these I ams. I am. I am. Okay, now, let's think for a moment. We just read passages in several different places. John and Romans and Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, and so on and so forth. We read several different passages. Now, we could have read a whole lot more. But we read several different passages. And what we read is a collection of I ams and I haves for the believer, for the Christian. Now, out of all those verses that we read, listen to this. I have the peace of God. I am dead to sin. Now, before we go any further, you might find some Christians who are challenged to use that phrase, I am, in association with themselves. And yet, if we see something in Scripture that identifies us with Christ and who we are, then the error is in not saying, I am. And so to start over again, I have the peace of God. I am dead to sin. I am a child of God. I am a joint heir with Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I am sanctified. I am justified. I am alive with the life of Christ. I am seated with Christ in authority. I am the workmanship of God. I am created according to God. I am created and made in God's righteousness. I am created in God's holiness. I am complete in Christ. I am the elect of God. I have a spirit of power. I have a spirit of love. I have a spirit of a sound mind. I am empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's me. And there's more. You know, I am the righteousness of God, which is somewhat covered in this. But the point I'm making is that's us. Every single one of those. That are you born again? If you're born again, then those are supposed to be your declarations about you. I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God. I have the peace of God. I am risen with Christ. I have the authority of Christ. I am seated in Him. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. This is who I am. This is what I am. This is what I have. This is it. This is me. But when's the last time you ever said much about yourself like that? I mean, is it possible that during this past week you might have said something like, I'm so stupid. I'm so dumb. I'm so ugly. I'm this. I'm that. I'm a failure. I can't. I won't. I'll never. Have you said anything like that about yourself this week? If you have, and you're born again, you are a house divided. Jesus, who are you? I am risen. Jesus, who are you? I am alive forevermore. Jesus, who are you? Who am I? You want to know who I am? You sure you want to know who I am? I am you. What do you mean by that, Jesus? Doesn't it say in my word that as I am, so are you in the world? Oh, you'll never be third person of the Godhead. But do you not understand the unity we have? Do you not? And if we're honest, we'll say, well, no. See, you have people out there who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're born again. They don't really know what that means. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they have. And so they keep living in a way that is opposite of who they are. And let's think about this for a minute. You imagine somebody, a Christian, I'm talking somebody who really is born again and even filled with the Holy Spirit. There they are. They pick up their joint and they light it. I am a child of God. I am dead to sin. Seriously? Seriously? Because see, right about now, when you think about it like that, that bluntly, the temptation is to throw in a few four-letter words that you don't find in the Bible and ask, how can you be like that? Well, dude, yeah. I am the righteousness of God, man. I'm feeling it too. You with me on this? You understand what I'm saying? How, if you're born again, I mean, you don't even have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because, see, if you're born again, you're all these things up to the, well, I'm empowered by the Holy Ghost. Until you've had that experience being filled with the Holy Ghost, you understand what I'm saying? So what? You go to a bar and you start putting down shots? Like, yeah, man. Yeah. Give me a double of Jack. I am the workmanship of God. Swallow. Whoo! Set me up again. I am created in God's holiness. Chug, chug, chug. Seriously? And yet, I'm kind of throwing a little bit of a humorous aspect into this, but the truth is you've got Christians who are living that way. They don't even say who they are, but they say they're born again, and maybe indeed they truly are. But how long is that going to last when you live like that? I am a child of God. See, if you made a point of declaring the reality of your existence, and I don't mean, you know, okay, I could lead you in confessions. All right, everybody say this after me. I have the peace of God. I have the peace of God. I am the. Everybody says this like, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But when you leave here, and tomorrow is coming, Monday, all right? When you wake up on Monday, what's your Monday going to be like? Because this concept should still be in the forefront of your thinking. When you have a mindset of, I am what I am. When you have that mindset, it's going to be hard for you to continue living in a way that contradicts who you say you are. Because when you're saying things like, I am alive with the life of Christ. Christ lives in me. He is my hope of glory. When you are declaring these things over yourself, then what happens is That born-again life on the inside of you is bearing witness with those declarations, because that born-again life in you knows that's me. That's me you're talking about out there. That's me. And then it's going to make you as the individual a lot more aware of who you are, and it's going to make it a little more challenging to be doing these things. I mean, you got Christians out there, you know, adultery, fornication. I mean, can you imagine? There they are, smooching and hugging on each other, removing each other's garments, and the whole time declaring, yeah, we're created in God's holiness. We're created in the righteousness of God. Oh yeah, we are complete in Christ. We are the elect of God. I think that would kind of put a damper on the moment. Because I can tell you right now, those thoughts are not ruling and reigning in the mindset of people doing that stuff. It's not happening. But if you become more aware of who you are, and you begin declaring who you are, then you will begin living who you are. But see, it's a failure to do this. And in some cases, a lot of Christians, they don't want to be confronted with this because it brings too much conviction. These examples that I just gave, there are at least two or three people in here were feeling kind of funny about some of that, because it was hitting home. Now, I don't know who you are, but yeah, this is ringing true. And see, when I stand up and I tell you, if as a pastor I stand up and I tell you, well, the blood of Jesus has taken care of everything, the grace of God, it's already dealt with all this kind of stuff, and if you do mess up, you don't have to repent. Do you realize what I'm actually doing is I'm telling you you're not who God says you are? Because see, when you understand that you are created in the righteousness and the holiness of God, when you know that, when you understand that, you are going to be quick to repent, because you know that your God is a loving, faithful, merciful, forgiving God. You're going to understand your position with your Father, and you're going to know, okay, God, Father, I blew it. I made a wrong decision. You know, it's all on me. You know, I blame everybody else if I want to, but, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what mama did, what daddy did, or whoever did whatever. I mean, God, I'm the one that made the choice. And so I come to you and I admit it, I confess it, and Father, I'm asking, you know, please forgive me. He says, son, I forgive you. I forgive you. And the blood of Jesus has washed you clean. But see, we don't generally address these things of who we are. You know, I am the elect of God. I am alive with Christ. I am created according to God. And there's so many other passages that we could have used here in this. But the more you start saying those things about you, I'm telling you, it has an impact on who you are. It has an impact as far as like who you recognize who you are, how you feel about yourself. It causes you to have a different perspective of your existence here on earth. You start seeing yourself differently, but if you never talk about who you are to yourself, then you're going to be challenged. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have problems that you should never have, because you're failing as a believer to understand who you are. Look, this applies to every person who's professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. No exceptions. And there are a lot of Christians who are going through a lot of junk in life because they really don't know who they are. They do not understand. I am the holiness of God. I am the righteousness of God. Do you know, just that concept. See, You don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to know these things. You just need to be born again and see what the Bible says about you. You need the Holy Spirit for that endowment of power. But beyond that, the recognition of these things, that's in the Word of God. There would be so much less sin among Christians if these truths were a conscious awareness in the minds of believers. You wouldn't be giving in to stuff. When I say believers, listen to me. When I say believers, I'm not talking about, okay, once you're 21 and above. No, I'm talking about, when did you get born again? Well, I got born again when I was 8. Okay, that's you. That's you. Well, I got born again when I was 6. We just read, that's you. That's you. And this awareness, this consciousness, the I ams of a believer need to be drilled into every child who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They need to be trained in this, raised in this awareness. And if they're not, when do you start? When they turn 18? When you wave goodbye as they're going off to college? When? When do you teach this? Parents have this responsibility. Johnny, you accepted Jesus Christ last year. Now I want you to know, you are the righteousness of Almighty God. You are created in righteousness and holiness. You are seated in Jesus Christ in those heavenly places. You begin declaring this to the kid. Well, you speaking it, declaring it to your child, that's going to reinforce it to you too. This is who we are. This is who God wants us to realize who we are. And if we don't, then we just kind of hope we're going to make it. Now, I don't mean like make it to heaven. I mean, we just hope things are going to work out in life. When you know who you are, when you begin to accept the I ams of a believer, then you're not going to wake up and hope to have a good day. You're going to wake up and know, I am going to have a good day. Because I am a child of God. Oh no, here comes Monday. I don't really like what Monday brings, but I like who I am. I am. And just like Jesus, if you were to ask him, he'd make those declarations. Jesus, who are you? Well, I am, and I am. He'd just start going through the list of all the I ams of who he is. What if he turned around and he said, who are you? What are you going to do, look for a name badge? My name's Bob. What are you going to do? If he looks at you and says, okay, now you tell me, who are you? I'm born again. Okay, yeah, but who are you? What would your response be? What was that sermon by Pastor Jim? Oh, come on, now I got to remember. I am whatever Pastor Jim said in that sermon. Yes, amen. That's I know you guys are getting this. I know you understand. This is so critical for us as believers. Okay, but now let's take a look at a few other verses. Turn over to Mark 16. Mark 16. And look at verse 17. Jesus says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Take a look at verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Look in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, take a look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In fact, you could back up to verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now look back over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now let's think about what we just read. A few moments ago we read several passages of Scripture that gave us a revelation, at least a partial revelation, of the I am's and the I have's of a believer. What we just read are the I do's of a believer. Now, I'll just read this to you. I do speak with tongues. I do cast out devils. I do lay hands on the sick and they recover. I do mortify the deeds of the flesh. I do live according to God's life in me. I do lay aside sin and things of the flesh. I do live holy without sin. I do the works of Jesus. These are the I do's. We read the I am's, and now we've read the I do's. Well, a lot of people have problems with the I am's, even though it's right in Scripture. And let's just be honest, most of us, we probably never think about the I am's or the I have's. But then when we get into the I do's, how many of us are doing the I do's? Okay, you're born again. But let's say you're also filled with the Holy Spirit. So then, during the past week, from this past, when the clock struck midnight, Sunday night, and we entered into Monday, from that time until this morning when you woke up, did you at all, during the week, at any point in time, pray in tongues? At all? Just 15 seconds. At all. You don't have to respond. This isn't a test. All right. I did, Brother Martin, I did. Ooh, yay. Just, I mean, for yourself, okay? Judge yourself, as the Scripture says. Did you spend any time at all praying in the Spirit? Well, if not, why not? Now, this whole thing about casting out devils, granted, first off, you got to come in contact with a devil somewhere along the line. Somebody says, well, that's all right, I'll just move to Washington, D.C. for a while. Okay. Now, hold on, you have no idea. Hey, the truth is, the casting out devils, that's not just cast them out of a person. You understand that? That's not just casting them out of a person. That's taking dominion over, call out the powers and the principalities or what. I mean, that's doing spiritual warfare, okay? So it's not just looking for somebody that's got a devil. It's also dealing with, you know, call it spiritual warfare. So with that in mind, you know, let's say that you believe, well, there are devils in my house. The kids brought them in. Or the mother-in-law brought them in. I don't know what. And, you know, there are people that are going to tell you, well, you open the door for demons to come into your house when you do this, when you do that, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I've seen these things on the internet, and I just want to, figuratively speaking, pull my hair out, and I control myself and I don't scream. When I see this, just this silliness on, you know, how to deal with devils in your house. And one of the things they tell you is, okay, you got to look for artifacts, you got to look for statues, you got to look for this, got to do that. Okay, you know what? I understand where they're coming from. But the first thing you got to do, first and foremost, is just take authority over. Just in the name of Jesus, go. It's not that difficult. And yet people who don't understand this are the ones that give you a 12-step program on how to cast devils out of. No, I never saw that with Jesus. You know, he showed up, no big deal. He just said, go. Just go. And it shocked people. Remember the 70? He sends them out. He says, all right, here's what I want you to do. And they come back. They're all excited. Said, Jesus, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. Like, wow. And the 12-step cast out a demon program hasn't even been invented yet. It's like it was no big deal, but they were shocked. In the name of Jesus, come out. Whoa, this works. So just because you've never cast out a demon, okay, it doesn't mean you're deficient as a Christian. But what it means is, this is an I do. In other words, it's, no, wait, listen. It goes beyond an I can. I can is speaking future tense. I do is my lifestyle. You understand that? If you're living with an I can, you need to rework that and make it an I do. Yeah, but I've never, you know, dealt with devils. I mean, I've never. Well, do you believe that demons are influencing anything going on in the city? Well, if you just did, in the name of Jesus, you devils of whatever, you know, deal with it. But live, this is an I do, not an I maybe. I do. Here's another one. I do lay hands on the sick and they recover. I do. See, if that is our lifestyle, then that's what we do. And truth of the matter is, you don't always have to lay hands on people. You know, I do speak the word and people are healed. Because that's what Jesus did. Remember, people would come to him. And like the centurion, he says, you know, oh, you know, my servant, he's going to die. Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. And the guy says, well, no, you don't have to do that, man. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. Just say the word. And Jesus, you know, his eyes boing, said, wait a minute, what? You're not even Jewish. And you have this kind of belief? Are you folks listening to this? Because I haven't found this kind of faith in any of you. He says, you know what? The dude's healed. Okay, that's my version. All right. He spoke the word. Remember the lady? My daughter's sick. And she wasn't Jewish. But her daughter gets healed because Jesus spoke it. So it's not simply a matter of laying hands on the sick. It's a matter of speaking it as well. I do lay hands on the sick and they recover. And if I'm not there to lay hands on them, I do speak the healing power of God, and these folks are healed. That's the I do. That's the I do. I do mortify the deeds of the flesh. That one right there needs a lot of work in the body of Christ. Well, you know, when the day comes that God delivers me from this habit, glory to God, I'll be delivered. I won't do it no more. I have news for you. You've been delivered. The only reason you do the addiction or the habit or the whatever is because you're not coming into the in agreement with the I do mortify the deeds of the flesh. I do live without sin. I do these things. Not I someday will. Not on, well, you know, when I get in the prayer line, somebody lays hands on me. No, when I feel the unction. What's the unction? And so many times when preachers say that, they kind of, they goose it, you know, feel the unction. I feel the unction. I got unctioned when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? I got the unction. I don't have to wait till I feel it. I got it. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, man, you got unction too. You know, I live according to God's life in me. See, when these things become our declarations, they work their way into becoming our lifestyle. See, it's one thing to be what God says, but it's quite another to do what God says. Because all of the I am's and I have's, all of those that we read earlier, every single one of those live on the inside of you right now if you're born again. And especially filled with the Holy Ghost for the power. Every single one of those are alive on the inside of you right now. Right now. I mean, it's there. You can't say it's not if you're born. Well, you can say it's not, but you're wrong. It's in you now. All of these I am's, all of these I have, it's there now. And I know for years, you know, years back, you know, I was like so many other Christians, and I just made excuses, and you know, I'm just not there yet. Or, well, I'm just not as holy as somebody else. Well, I'm not as righteous as somebody else. And I would buy into that, and I hear other people say it, it's like I buy into it. But now I understand, no, that doesn't, no. You can't pull that one on me. Years ago you could have, not anymore. Because now I understand more about who I am and what I have than what I used to. So if you come to me and you say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm born again, and then you say, yeah, but, and no, you can't, no, I'm not going to buy in that. And you're not going to be able to use that as an excuse on me. And there are some Christians, that's what it is. It's an excuse they want to hide behind to justify their behavior. And if you begin to confront them on that, no, you can't do that. No, you are what the Bible says you are, and what you're telling me, that's not right. That's wrong. You can't. There's a good chance they might start getting defensive. Who are you to judge me? The Bible's already judged you by telling you who you are. God's already judged your condition by telling you who you are and what you have. So it's not me. I'm just saying you can't get me to come into agreement with that lie. Well, I can see that we're just not going to get along. Well, that's okay. Because if you don't get along with me on this, guess what, dude? You ain't getting along with God either. Because I understand these things. I'm not God, I'm not Jesus, but I know who I am. And therefore, Jesus and I mean, we're agreed, and we're walking together in this. You are not in agreement with who God says you are, and you are not walking together with Christ. Not happening. Well, see, the being, the who I am, the being of who I am, is what enables the doing. See, Jesus, he knew who he was, and he knew what he could do. There was never any doubt. Oh, Jesus, you know, my servant's at home, and he's really sick. I think he might die. And Jesus says, okay, I'll come and heal him. Wait a minute, Jesus. You didn't spend 30 days fasting and praying. Listen to me. I don't need to, because I am always in a state of preparation, preparedness. I'm always ready. Because I know who I am and I know what I can do. I don't have to fast and pray for 30 days to figure out who I am and figure out what I can do. What's, that's really different from a lot of things going on in the body of Christ. See, when we talk about, you know, why you got to spend time praying in tongues and so forth, the anointing. Okay, I get that. I understand that. But one of the things the Holy Spirit is going to do, one of His primary assignments, is to get us to understand who we are. Because when you understand who you am, then you're going to know you can do. Poor grammar, but you understood it. So the being enables the doing. Jesus knew who He was, knew what He could do, and He proved it in Scripture. But see, it's a lack of knowing, understanding, and believing the I ams which inhibits the I do's. Because until you come to the place of fully understanding the I ams, you're going to struggle with the I do's. Especially the one about doing the works of Jesus. Because when you sit and you think, you know, I mean, you're trying to say, I do the works of Jesus. And there's like hesitancy on the inside of you. Like, I know what my mouth is saying, but on the inside of me, nothing is agreeing with that. That's your emotions. Your spirit is saying, wait a minute, we've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we can do these works. Come on now. Let's get with it. When I come to the place of knowing, comprehending, understanding, grasping, getting a hold of the I ams, then the I do's are no challenge whatsoever. Because I know who I am, and because of who I am, the I do's happen. See, we go through this list of the I ams. The I ams and the I haves of a believer. And you'll have Christians that'll say, well, yeah, that's right, Brother Martin, amen. Whew, good sermon. Man, I'm telling you what, that was good. And people will agree with the I ams and I haves. However, agreeing with them and believing them are two separate things. Because, see, you can say, I agree with that. Yes, it bears witness with my spirit. You ever heard that? Bears witness with my spirit. Well, I'm glad it does, because it should. It bears witness with my spirit, Brother Martin. Yes, I am in agreement with that. The thing is, when you believe the I ams and the I haves, then you're not going to confess any I'm not. And you're not going to confess any I wish I were's. You're not going to confess any I wish I could's. You're not going to confess any I can't's. You're not going to do that. It won't come out of your mouth. Ever. Because when you come to that place of comprehending and believing the I ams and the I haves, you're not going to turn around and contradict what you know. I mean, can you imagine somebody going to Jesus back when, you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John days? Hey, Jesus, you know, remember the one guy, you know, his son, you know, the devil cast out and all this other kind of stuff. And the guy said, Jesus, if you can do anything, can you help us? Now, again, I'm paraphrasing. And it's like Jesus said, what? If I can do anything, yeah, I can do this. It's no big deal. Watch. Come out. Ah! Now give him something to eat. See, if you'd gone to Jesus and asked him, Jesus, do you think that this person can be healed? He's not going to say, well, I tell you what, I sure hope that the healing manifests. Follow me? He's not going to say, well, I sure hope the healing manifests. Well, I sure hope, you know, oh, let me think, did I do anything wrong yesterday? Am I interfering with the flow of the anointing? Am I hindering the operation of God? See, he would never have had those thoughts. He would have simply said, be healed. And what's your next question? The blind man, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Bring him here to me. What would you like? Well, I'd like a hamburger, fries, Coke, and my sight. I mean, Jesus did ask him, what do you want? Now, I know that's kind of silly, but when you understand the I ams and the I haves, then you understand the I do's, and you know that you can do the I do's because you know who you are. And this is one of the things that praying in the Holy Ghost is going to do. It's going to help you get to that place, get all of us, get to that place of believing the I ams and I haves. Believing it. So that it results in the doing. And this is really the biggest challenge, I guess you could say, maybe even one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ, is not really believing the I ams and the I haves. Because when we start talking about, when we start saying things that are opposite of the I ams and I haves, do you realize what we're doing? Do you realize, you know, that almost leans in the direction of like the vein jangling. Remember, we're told not to do that. When you start complaining about stuff, you don't understand the I ams and the I haves. Here's Jesus, thousands of people, 5,000 men plus kids, women, thousands of them. And he looks at the apostles and he says, well, I'll tell you what, these folks have been here for a while. And, you know, if we send them walking back home, some of them, they're not going to make it. Remember, you had people of all ages. They're not going to make it. We need to feed them. So, guys, let's feed them. The apostles are like, excuse us? Like, with what? We don't even have enough money, you know, to buy one hamburger and cut it into 10,000ths. Okay, we can't do that. And Jesus said, well, okay. Since we don't have the money to go buy the food, what do you have? And one of the apostles, I get a kick out of this story. There's so much, I have so many questions about this story. He said, well, there's a lad over here who used to have... Imagine that little kid. My lunch. Mommy. I seriously wonder. That kid had to have been related to some. I don't know. Anyway, he says, all right, well, bring it to me. And so they bring him the loaves and the fishes. And what Jesus say? All right, who's got the sharpest knife? We're going to have to cut this stuff down. No, you know what he did? He held it up. And he blessed it. He blessed the food. He didn't say, oh God, you got to come through today. No, he opened his mouth and he blessed it. And the stuff multiplied. And thousands of people were fed. And then they had 12 baskets full left over. Now, Jesus knew who he was. And he knew what he could do. And he sure didn't. Can you imagine today? Here's what they do today. People would say, all right, folks, listen, we got about 10,000 people out there. And I know the service has been going kind of long. So we're going to receive a special offering and then order pizza. Praise the Lord. Yeah, people would give big time in that one. Here, take it all. Marion's, right? Yeah, you're sitting there thinking, all right, next time we have one of our covered dish dinners, I'm going to bring in a couple of fish, some loaves of bread, and I'll see what you can do, Pastor Jim. God, you understand what I'm presenting to you guys? You understand what the Lord's trying to get across to us? We have to come to the place of understanding these I Ams, and one of the best ways of doing that is to get into the Word and just declare those things over us. I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. Oh, I am dead to sin. You make a habit of saying that, and then when temptation says, hey, how about sinning? You're just going to rip it right off. I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. There's not even a, yeah, I'd kind of like to do that. No, I'm dead to you. Whatever it would be, you start making these declarations about yourself. And it starts becoming a reality because your born-again nature stands in agreement with those declarations. The Holy Spirit stands in agreement with those declarations. Jesus, Father God, they stand in agreement with those declarations, and it reinforces the reality of who we are. And then the next thing that comes along, we start saying the I do's. And it's no big deal. They're not I hopes. They're not, boy, it'd be nice ifs. They're I do's. It happens. Just, it's mind-boggling when you just sit and think about it. You mean I could be there at Walmart? And somebody asked me just to pray for them. And so I pray, and they're healed. And then word begins to spread in Walmart. And then all of the sick and diseased and lame and maimed are brought to me at Walmart, and I heal them all. That's a reality. That's what happened with Jesus. Just wasn't at Walmart. But it happened. That's the same potential for us. It may never make the news. Doesn't matter. Bunch of people are going to go home healed, delivered, made whole, and most likely born again. That's us. That's us, guys. And so I want to, you know, look, for me, I need to do this more than what I do. Because whether or not you're a pastor, whether or not, whatever, this is the believer. This is a Christian. This is not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, all that stuff. Yeah, those things, that's a calling. But the calling is not your existence. Your existence are all these I ams and I haves as a result of Jesus Christ. So I'm encouraging you guys, man. Let's begin to focus on this. And give this some thought. And I, like I said, there are a lot more passages of Scripture in here describing the I ams and the I haves. But I want to be, every day of my life, the fullness of all of my I ams and I haves.